We're going to briefly jump ahead in the narrative of Jesus' crucifixion and spend a couple minutes contemplating the final of seven statements that Jesus made from the cross. The seventh word from the cross is recorded in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, where it states, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Would you pray with me? Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for our Savior Jesus, who endured rejection and betrayal, a false trial, an unjust sentence, the terror of crucifixion, and who drank down to the very dregs the cup of your wrath. Would you grant to us the grace to understand the meaning of these words that Jesus spoke from the cross, that we may look to him in faith and worship you? For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, Jesus was crucified, the text tells us, at the third hour. In other words, that's equivalent to about 9 a.m. in the morning. And as we will read next in our seventh and final scripture reading, it was at noon or at the sixth hour, when you would least expect it, that it suddenly became dark. This must have been an eerie darkness and unforgettable for those who were present. This darkness lasted for 3 hours. This was not an eclipse of the sun. First, for there is no eclipse that lasts for 3 hours. And second, because this was the time of the Passover, there was a full moon. And during the full moon, the earth is between the moon and the sun, which makes a solar eclipse impossible. And therefore, this was a supernatural darkness. This darkness was a symbol for judgment, specifically God's judgment upon sin, upon our sin. And this judgment was laid upon Jesus, who was there on the cross as our substitute. Jesus was suffering the most intense agony, indescribable anguish, terrible isolation, and forsakenness. Something that by God's grace we will never, ever have to experience. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, as William Hendrickson states in his commentary, from below, Satan and his demons attacked him. From around, men hurled insults and mocked and jeered at Jesus. From above, God poured out his wrath upon Jesus as he became a curse for us. And from within Jesus, there arose a deep and a desperate cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Hell came to the cross that day. Into that hell, Jesus descended. Jesus bore its horrors in our place. Jesus received in full an infinite amount of wrath against sin. He endured an infinite amount of hell on behalf of God's elect. Hell is not a place that you want to be, nor is it even a place that you would wish upon your worst enemy. In American pop culture, Hell is often portrayed as a fun party place where Satan, dressed in his little red outfit with a pitchfork, is perhaps a cruel dictator of that place. To be clear, Satan is not in charge of hell. God is in charge. Hell is the terrible and dreadful place where God pours out his good and his righteous wrath upon the guilty, upon the rebellious, upon those who have broken God's law. And Scripture tells us that all of us have disobeyed God's law. Therefore, all of us deserve, all of us have earned a home in hell for all eternity. But that is the good news of the gospel. On the cross, Jesus willingly suffered the judgment of God so that his people could be forgiven. It's important to understand that Jesus' life was not taken for him, but he laid it down willingly. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." And in John 10, verse 18, referring to his own life, Jesus says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." And therefore, on the cross, when his work was done, in a cry of confidence and voluntary surrender, Jesus called out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In the Greek, the word for commit means to entrust or to place before or to offer. Jesus entrusts himself to the Father and at the same time prepares to face death with confidence. And he can do this because he has completely satisfied the justice of God and has saved his people. And this is good news for us, for the church. You see, when Jesus entrusted himself to the Father, he included all of those who would trust in him, past, present, and future. This is profound. Think about this. If you are a Christian, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, as he suffered for your sins upon the cross, he thought of you. Not in a bitter or an angry, "I can't believe you put me through this" kind of a way, but in an "I love you, and for the joy set before me, I endured this on your behalf" kind of a way. He suffered for your sins. He received the penalty that you deserved. And once he paid it in full, he confidently committed his soul to God the Father. Luke continues in chapter 23, verse 46, "When he had said this, he breathed his last." This is an unusual way of describing death in Scripture, which I believe actually emphasizes the uniqueness of Christ's death. He breathed his last. It reflects calmness and release in the mind and heart of Jesus when he died, having fully accomplished the work that the Father had sent him to do. He looked forward to the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And then amazingly, miraculously, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. This was the curtain that separated the most holy place from the rest of the temple. This curtain not only prevented people from entering into the most holy place, but prevented them even from seeing into the most holy place, because of that is how holy that place is. No one could enter the most holy place except for the high priest, and at that, only once a year on the Day of Atonement. And when he went in, he had to have a rope tied around his leg in the event that he was consumed by the presence of the holy God and was struck dead. That way people could pull him out with the rope without having to go into the holy place to get him themselves. Both Matthew and Mark's gospel make it clear that the curtain was ripped from top to bottom immediately after Jesus died on the cross. This event shows that it was Jesus' death that opened the way into the most holy place. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 states, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is, his body, let us draw near to God." The only way that we can with confidence enter the most holy place, the only way that we can draw near to God, the only way that we can see his kingdom is to acknowledge our sin and our brokenness and turn to Jesus Christ in faith. We are to entrust ourselves to Jesus. In the same way that Jesus committed or entrusted or placed himself before the Father, we are to commit, to entrust, and to place ourselves before Jesus. And by his Spirit, he gives us new life, a rebirth. We are forgiven. We are cleansed. We are renewed. Jesus' sacrifice pays in full the penalty of all of your sins, past, present, and future. So whether you have been a Christian for years or are just beginning that rebirth this evening, let us all say with sincere hearts, "Jesus, into your hands I commit my spirit." Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, would you move among us? May we be in awe of Jesus, who suffered and died and endured hell for us. Lead us to worship our Savior. Lead us to contemplate his sacrificial love. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.